Welcome to KMXT's Talk of the Rock, our local community affairs program, where we explore issues and organizations related to our community. Talk of the Rock is hosted by members of the KMXT news team.
That's right. It's time for Talk of the Rock here on KMXT. I'm your host, Davis. Thanks so much for tuning in. I've got two guests in the studio today, and I'm going to let them introduce themselves in a moment. But just a heads up, we are talking about our local fire departments and local firefighters. We're going to talk a lot today about recruitment and all sorts of things for what it takes to be a firefighter on Kodiak Island. So with that, I'll let my guests introduce themselves, starting with you, please, Rich.
Hey, good afternoon. It's Rich Gonzalez. I'm the fire chief over at the Kodiak Fire Department.
Awesome. And Scott.
And Scott. Scott Ellis over at Bayside Kodiak Island Borough.
Awesome. Thank you both for being here. And I know you're both currently hiring for various positions. So maybe why don't we just start kind of with the overview. Rich, I'll start with you. How many do you have on staff right now? And who are you? What positions are you still recruiting for at this point?
So right now we have, we're billeted for a total of 15. And that's including the three chiefs and the admin position. We are hiring for two captains. Well, let me take that back. One captain. We just offered a position to one of our in-house firefighters for the captain position. So we still have one captain position that is open, and now that's created a vacancy on the floor. So we'll have a firefighter position, and I've got a firefighter who's departing with his spouse, who's Coast Guard. So that's going to open up another firefighter position for us.
Okay, understood. And Scott, same question to you. Where do you stand with staffing right now?
So with operational, what people would consider a traditional firefighter, we have 27. We are looking full staff as 32, four companies of eight each with a captain, lieutenant, engineer, and firefighters. And then we have our support side, which currently has four members, and they handle things such as our field comm unit rehabilitation, EMS-only responders.
Right, and I appreciate you making that distinction because for those who aren't aware, there is a little discrepancy here between City and Bayside, of course, not only with your jurisdiction, but also with the way you operate. So, Rich, with City, you have EMTs and firefighters dual trained, correct?
Correct. And Scott does as well.
Right.
Have the the dual trained firefighter EMTs. Basically, the only difference is we're working, our EMT twos and above are working under medical direction, and we have the big square box to transport them to the hospital. But aside from that, I think we're pretty right there.
Yeah, and I will add, too, that, Bayside, as you mentioned, has higher numbers, but a much bigger footprint, I guess I'll say, right, for Bayside.
Well, and, I think the key here also is deployment model. So that's a term that gets tossed around. And, where Chief Gonzalez and KFD, their people, they have them captive in a very positive way, right? So they'll have so many people on shift in the firehouse. So where our deployment model is generally we have at least one person 24 hours a day, whether it's me or a duty chief or duty officer in the firehouse, and we augment that pretty consistently on the weekends with members who bunk in or pull a duty shift in the firehouse. But our model is, and is most paid-on-call, volunteer, stipend volunteer departments throughout the country run, is incident call comes in and members respond from their home to the firehouse, get on the apparatus and respond. That's where numbers come in. That's where, we augment each other and how we attempt to rather than duplicate a lot of things, we talk consistently and communicate and, how can we, I'll show my old hippie ways here, how can we be part of each other's solutions rather than, just furthering a problem.
I would like to talk a little bit more in depth about the scheduling too. I know, Rich, this has come up in some of our conversations. You know, the national model is starting to change in terms of the amount of time that each firefighter is on shift and the amount of time that they have off shift at home with their families or just away from work. What's the current schedule that you use at City Fire Department?
So due to our short staff that we've had in the past year, our guys have been running 48 on and 48 off, and they'll continue to run that here and probably until the end of May. Once we get to June 1st, we're going to be able to go to a 24 on, 48 off shift schedule.
And it seems like even more time, I know this is in different communities in the lower 48 with more resources and staff, but it seems like a lot of thought and research has gone into giving firefighters 24 hours on and then more like 72 or more off. Are you guys kind of seeing maybe, you know, a shift towards that as well? And as you're recruiting from the lower 48 and the people that you're talking to, is that kind of what they're asking for?
So, you know, it's and it's going to be odd me jumping in on this one because I'm the chief of a predominantly, you know, paid on call volunteer department. My previous life, though, of 35 plus years, was in a career municipal city fire department. And we operated originally, it seems to be basically the Mississippi east and north of the Mason-Dixon line was where this was really traditional. And that's what's called a 42-hour work week. So firefighters would work four platoons or four shifts at 42 hours. What that has morphed into when I started in the Stone Age, we worked two 10-hour days, two 14-hour nights, and 4 days off, three and a half days off. And what has come into play is through studies, through actual science, through long-term you know, evaluation, things that like where I'm from, thus my accent, we would call it the Boston Modified. And that is a 24 on, 24 off, 24 on, 5 days off. And what that allows for is longer recovery time, because invariably, this isn't an operation where you get to say, well, you know, it's a holiday, you guys want it off, or we're just going to shut down for the day. There is a minimum staffing that has to be met. So it allows for that overtime, you know, where, you know, staffing fluctuates. And while it is in some places that are switching, southeast of the United States is switching to it, the Northwest, which is really critical as I've been watching to Alaska, is places in Washington and Oregon, and not traditional places that one might think, like Seattle or Portland. We're talking about smaller county areas that are switching to the 42-hour work week model, and that is threatening the ability of Alaska departments to be marketable, right? So that's you know, a motivator. The other is bottom line, you know, it will, if you are switching to that, there's going to be a cost to it, okay? No one, if anybody comes in here and says, oh, well, no, not really, they're not being truthful, right? It's going to cost. But the, you know, like anything with numbers, you have to look at, you have to extrapolate it out and look at what are you spending now in training people. You know, departments do not want to become the community college of the fire service, where you come in, you spend good money, you put time and effort into this individual and get them 2 years on, their certifications in play, experience, and then they lateral to a department that has a defined benefit pension, that has a 42-hour work week, and now you start from square one. So if you add up all that cost, and then the intangibles like what service level, if you have a department where 90% of your department has less than 2 years on the job, you know, they're still doing the baseline. They're not, it's not like there's incapable people wandering around, but you lose that mid-level. Think any profession, right? If you just have brand new people and there's no mentors, there's no senior person kind of thing, that is a disservice to the public. And again, I get to sit back in the latter part of my career and I'm having a blast and it's enjoyable. I'm bucking, and I say I mean our community of public service here on the island, because we're all working together, police, fire, troopers. And I'm in a position where the people that I onboard, you know, I have, you know, senior people assigned to each company. I have, you know, a company officer cadre that has a good mix. They're coming in here with experience from other, you know, volunteer departments. They're staying, right, because they have another profession, right? It's just, that's what we look at, right? And we do have some where you had mentioned earlier when we were chatting, we have the dual roles. So we have some members that also are full-time employees with Department of Homeland Security at Coast Guard Fire Department at Base Kodiak. That trend is moving. It's not going to stop. Fire departments throughout the country are really having a tough time recruiting and retaining talent. You know, I look where I came from, and again, I do not want to be the guy of, well, where I came from, you know, it's like, no, this is my home, this is Kodiak, right? But these are things to look at. In Connecticut, where my son is employed in one of the top five largest cities in the state, and they are the only ones with a defined benefit pension program. They work that modified Boston schedule. The other four do not. And when my son's department is hiring 30 people, they get 3,000 applicants. When the other departments are hiring 30 people, they get 200 to 300 applicants. You know, it's not scientific, but the anecdotal evidence is there. You look at places in the South, big departments, good culture, a lot of work. Firefighters like to do their job. They don't enjoy people suffering, but they like to be able to do the job they work for. Places like Charleston, South Carolina, Myrtle Beach, you know, terms that I had used before. Cobb County, Georgia is one that actually just shifted. Community colleges of the fire department, they figured it out. It was better for them to make some changes and take some costs on, because they were losing it left and right.
Yeah.
And Chief Gonzalez, and I don't want to speak for him, but I want to speak about what I observe, is he has brought in and worked with the good things that Chief Dorner had done before him, and built on this solid foundation of culture and involvement and individual validation. And I know these sound, again, I'm like big old hippie, right? But those are important things. And you know, the next steps that he is taking to make these firefighters Kodiak firefighters. And that's a big deal.
Rich, did you have anything to add on the retention part that Scott's kind of talking about here?
Yeah, you know, Chief always does a great job of presenting the information. And, you know, just to touch on a couple of things, I'm glad he brought that up. You know, with us starting we're exactly that. We were that community college, that turnstile for training firefighters to go to other departments, bigger departments, where it was easier for them to apply with the qualifications already. So by us starting this homegrown, I like to call it homegrown firefighter program, we just had four recruits graduate. The recruit program, as a matter of fact, today they were successful in applying and moving on to becoming firefighters in training / EMTs. Today at 3:00, we'll be having a little ceremony at the firehouse for them and officially assigning them to their shifts. These are guys that I hope to have on for a very long time. These are guys that I'm looking at and thinking, I see you becoming a captain. I see you becoming a deputy chief. I see you running this department 20, 15, whatever the case may be. But shutting down that revolving door. I mean, are we always going to have that? Of course, right? We have the Coast Guard here, and you know, we're going to have people that come in. There may be a firefighter. What I tell people is, out of all the positions that I have, if I have one that's a revolving door, I'll be happy. If the rest of them are all homegrown talent that I know are going to stick around for a long time, that makes me extremely happy. You know, it's seeing these high school kids graduate from high school you know, one of them, Firefighter Weller, who will be, you know, getting his shift assignment today. It just it touches my heart deeply to know that his dream has always been to be a firefighter. And I mean, you could probably hear it in my voice, but I get choked up every time I tell the story about him, because it's just such an awesome story. He gets to stay home where he graduated from high school, and he's going to be serving the community where he grew up. It doesn't get any better than that.
Right. Well, and that's, and I think that's the special nature that you two have been able to bring to your respective departments. And we've talked about this before, is the local cadet program and really emphasizing homegrown, because like you said, you can't keep competing with the lower 48. You can't keep competing with benefits packages and shifts and other departments that are much bigger than ours, but you can certainly grow from within. Scott, I know you've had some success with that recently too. Tell us a little bit more about that recruiting class, that cadet class, I think of five that you just...
So to just differentiate in,
sure,
in nomenclature.
Sure.
So
yeah,
our cadets, yep, are 14 to 17-year-olds.
Got it.
So that's our high school program. We currently have nine in that, and that is a cooperative and collaborative effort. And that is something that we see kind of morphing, right? Where is it going to allow for more involvement of general public safety? Because again, you know, the individuals that aren't here that are key in our day-to-day operations and, you know, our little world of conversation, and that's Chief Putney of KPD, was Sergeant Collins of the Alaska State Troopers, who now with Sergeant Lott, who is a local, who has moved up and he will be replacing or has replaced Sergeant Collins. You know, do we want to have more involvement, you know, like a public safety cadet program? It's not that Kodiak Fire is not involved. Just because it is based out of Bayside, that doesn't mean Woman's Bay is not involved. It doesn't mean Coast Guard is not involved. You know, everywhere you just got to have that. Somebody's got to host a party, right? So that's really what we are at. Our cadre of trainers, we all integrate seamlessly back and forth. And that, you know, that's an operation where a lot of those individuals are going to go on to KPD. They're going to go on to KFD. And yeah, I may only see one or two individuals that stay because they have other aspirations and they stay with, you know, either us or Woman's Bay. But that's a win because we work interoperably, right? So I don't see it as losing a firefighter. I see it as that firefighter is assigned to one of our other stations that when I call for, you know, we have automatic mutual aid. Somebody calls for help. They're not out there counting what it says on each side of the fire truck. They just want to know competent firefighters have arrived. And we work seamlessly. You know, the nature of some of Chief Gonzalez's leadership is really humble, where I've had to remind them that there's no magic line. You arrive first, and you're the first arriving company officer or chief officer. You take command. Well, it's your call. No, it's not. It's our call because this is our community and our people, and they want our help, right? And that's the level of where we're at. So then to your first, I go all over the place.
That's okay.
So 14 to 17-year-olds are our cadets, right?
Right.
And then our recruits, like Chief Gonzalez's, we just brought in, we have four that onboarded last night. Nice. We have two more that are in the process. Because, you know, it's not a, hey, just show up and, you know, it's, you know, you apply, you go through an interview, there's background, there is then an initial orientation. And then last night was the onboarding orientation, gear, equipment, probationary passbook marks and guides their training over the next, you know, year of their probation, assigned to companies. And if you're noticing, kind of like what we're saying, everything seems like it's pretty similar. That's done on purpose, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not a smart guy. I like stealing. I hang out with smart people. That's why this guy's across over here.
Between the both of us, we're one smart person.
And, you know, I like stealing other people's good ideas. And, you know, we're that's a key point here. So again, when our people do move, or you know, if we have someone who then applies to City Fire or Coast Guard or moves out to the flats, there is a seamless transition, you know. And I don't want to marginalize, you know, Chief Conrad and Woman's Bay, right? They're an honest to goodness fire department, you know. I mean, I think sometimes people, you know, that's that quiet corner of the island, they forget about it, and they're absolutely a part of this, and we support each other.
Yeah, you know? Appreciate that, Scott. Rich, I'm gonna throw it over to you because I know you gotta head out here soon. But in terms of recruitment specifically, you mentioned the event today for those recruits that are working their way up, being moved up. That's great to hear. Is there anything else you'd like to highlight, or, you know, let the public know, I guess, in general about City Fire Department recruitment at this time?
You know, just keep an eye out. We do a lot of recruitment on our Facebook webpage. I try to, you know, reach out nationally. And I guess my efforts are also going internationally because we had a applicant from Morocco
wow.
the other day. So. Nice. Yeah, I'll have to get a map on my office and mark how far our recruiting efforts are making it. But no, just keep an eye out. You know, right now we're like I said, we're still recruiting for one more captain position and two firefighter positions. But we're looking into the future to see how we can grow that homegrown program. And one of the other things that I also would like to do is work out some kind of explorer program with the high school, right? So if we can get them coming straight out of high school, that would be great. Where they can just come and, you know, even if it's just hang out, not go on calls, but do some of the stuff that we do around the firehouse. You know, what I tell people is once that culture and that brotherhood gets in your blood, it's not coming out. I don't care how hard you try, it's not coming out. And if we can inject that into these young folks, you know, coming out of high school at a young age, you know, and like Chief Ellis said, they could be going to KPD, they could be going the state trooper route. It's a win-win situation for all of us, I think, you know. So, yeah.
I appreciate that. Scott, I'm going to turn it back to you. I just had a more clarifying question about the cadets and the process, because as you mentioned, you know, these are high schoolers, right? So 14 to 17 year olds, they have a training period, of course, but mm-hmm. then they can't even really respond to calls until they're 18. Is that right? They're on that probationary period until they can respond to calls. How does that work?
Actually, that's not
oh, okay no, so they don't the have case. To wait until they're 18. Okay.
No, we follow national guidelines, state labor, you know, laws and rules, and obviously best practices. These are people's children, right? As much as a lot of them are absolutely very mature and capable young adults, they are still someone's child. They are a minor. But no, we will bring them in, and we're a little bit more specific in how we onboard our cadets, because we want them coming in as a cadre together to move through training, because it's a little bit more tied down, right? So we have two classes right now that came on 6 months apart from each other. The first, they're through their first year now, and they are able to respond to certain types of calls. Very restrictive in what they can do. We have them wearing exceptionally distinctive gear. They have yellow helmets, older helmets that are very distinctive. Their gear is distinctive, so no one can mistake them for a regular firefighter. We have the calls that they're able to respond to are very restrictive automatic fire alarms. They can respond on a structure fire, but not on the first two apparatus. And they are relegated to a support role, which is a really critical role, because that role that they're able to fill on the fire ground, getting spare SCBA bottles, you know, providing rehab initially, you know, water, all these different things. That's something that a line firefighter would have to be doing, and they're freed up from it. So they come to training, they do their training on Wednesday nights, they integrate with our probationary firefighters on Wednesday nights often, and now that first group of three, they are actually able to come to our Monday night training. They're two already have their emergency trauma technician. The rest will be offered it over the next, we're running that a couple different times. So again, they hit that point, and we have, you know, two that are local families that are in that top tier group. And those are individuals, they turn 18, and aside from some paperwork and issuing new gear, they will be ready to hit the ground running as certified firefighters. There'll be no probationary period. It's a magic number, and they're ready to go.
That's awesome. And you're factoring those into your, I think you said earlier, you're looking for 32 total staff is what you're trying to achieve?
Correct. Okay. We had that. We had met that. We have had some people either go to reserve status because they have moved off island. One of the metrics that I'm really pleased with is our retention rate is darn close to like 95%. And I use that, numbers can lie, especially if you don't tell the whole truth. We do lose people, but we're losing them because they're moving off island for another job. They're not walking away from the fire department because, hey, this isn't for me. So, you know, we've lost our deputy chief has moved to reserve status. He has moved to lower 48 for another federal firefighting job. You know, great loss, but he is still with us. He is still going to come up and help train, and he wants to be a part of the organization. We lost our captain, Shelby Backus. She got a wonderful job with the state of Alaska, but unfortunately that moved her to mainland, but she's now serving with a department on the mainland as a volunteer, and she's still available to help out with things. So,
gotcha, understood. We're running out of time, yeah. Scott, and I know there's always more to talk about, but you wanted to highlight specifically this spring who will stand with us recruitment campaign. So tell me a little bit about that and what you wanted to mention.
It's, you know, we want people who are excited to be a part of the organization, but we want to highlight that if you don't want to, If being a line suppression firefighter was not really your thing, but you wanted to be a part of the organization, we have different divisions, which is not unlike, you know, Seattle, Los Angeles, Chicago, DC. They have separate divisions, right? And things like our prevention or community risk reduction. Wildland firefighting is something we're exploring now because our risk is slowly growing and we want to be prepared, you know, we want to be proactive, not reactive. EMS only. We have a lot of medical professionals on this island, and we want to engage with them and let them know that if this is something you wanted to do pre-hospital, you don't have to be a firefighter. It's okay. In fact, that's great, right? And that's what we're looking for, you know, getting the word out on that there's a lot to do here. You know, it's a good place. We have great people. Yeah. My goal is when I leave and I, you know, actually retire. I want to be the last cat that had to be brought in off island to sit in you know, sit in that office. And we have some great people through, you know, a really solid mentoring and succession planning. They're going to be, it's not going to be who, it's going to be which of the who's.
Right? Great. And how can folks get in touch with you, Scott, if they're wanting to get more information about those positions?
You know, the easiest, and I love this old school, you know, stop in the firehouse. The other is great email is admin@baysidefireak.gov. So admin@baysidefire.gov or ak.gov. Call the firehouse, you know, 907-486-4536. And again, stop in.
Perfect. Thank you to Scott Ellis and Rich Gonzalez for joining me today on Talk of the Rock. We're going to throw it back to Terry in the studio. You're listening to KMXT.